The Conqueror's Queen by Joanna Courtney, read by Katie Scarf. Sometimes, when she closes her eyes, Matilda can feel it still, the driving pulse of the whirling, beating dance that first taught her the power of a man. She'd thought dancing so fine until then, so elegant, so magical. But that night, she discovered its darker side, and she liked it. She thrills to the insistent thud of heart against heart, the light turn of the reel lifting her high onto her richly slippered toes, the sweeping assurance of strong arms.
"You are too good for me, my lady."
His words had whispered across her cheek like butterflies, trailing blushes. "I am," she'd agreed, because it was true. He was Lord Britrick, Saxon ambassador to the court of Bruges. She was Lady Matilda, eldest daughter of the great Count Baldwin. He was a quiet landholder in some green corner of southern England. She was the niece of King Henri of France. He should marry minor gentry. She was destined for a great match, linking Flanders with an advantageous land. And yet he carried himself like a powerful man, and more than that, when she was in his arms, he made her a powerful woman.
"No one, surely," she said, "is too good to dance."
He smiled at that and lifted her closer to his broad chest, and then, with a low laugh that laced deliciously through her feast-smoked hair, he spun her until her royal blood pulsed against her skin as if trying to escape, and laughter burst from her lips in heady joy. The rush of the reel was a potion stronger than any wine, and the music seemed alive around her. The merry melody of the fiddle, the trill of a tiny flute, and the pulse of the drum beneath. The air was ripe with the exotic perfume of the ladies, cinnamon and allspice, bought in the vivid markets of Bruges, and now mixing with the meaty smoke of the fire and the warm musk of men. And his eyes were Saxon blue, like summertime skies, as they bore into her own, all laughter gone, and in its place a rich, deep intent. Had it been a kiss? Not truly. Not in the way kisses were giggled over in the bower, all frenzy and moisture. No, it had been more as if his words had run along the curve of her mouth and disappeared again into the press of other dancers, jostling and turning and chattering, as if this were just another night at court.
"You are too good for me, my lady."
Words or a kiss? Still she cannot tell, cannot separate the two, for they were lost almost before they began. And then, in a crash of cymbals, her father ordered the dance ended, and Britrick was gone, and trouble came tumbling down upon her poor, romantic head.